So last month, I taught on the power of prayer and fasting, and we got about a few minutes into my lesson, and the rest was a lot of good, powerful stories. So we're coming back to it, right? We're in no hurry when it comes to prayer. Amen? So this is power of prayer and fasting, part two. Remember Hot Shots, the movie from the 80s, or is that just me that, Ed, you want to play this? So I hope we have a song that actually works today. It's one of Ricardo's favorite artists here that I actually seen him in concert. So, Ed, if you would do the honors. And it's got lyrics. So we can all sing along.
People hurting, people broken, beaten down and feeling hopeless. Wonder if it's gonna always be this way. Who will speak up for the captive? Show some love and heal a past that binds the wounds we think will never go away. But what if we could be a people on our knees as one before the King? 'Cause we believe. When the church starts praying, strongholds start to break. Oh, when we pray, prison walls start shaking. At the sound of praising, nothing stays the same. Oh, when we pray, oh, oh, oh. When we pray, oh, 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 oh. I see revival rising, I see hope on the horizon as a generation stepping out in faith. Because we will be a people on our knees as one before the King. 'Cause we believe, hey. All the world starts changing when the church starts praying. Strongholds start to break. Oh, when we pray, prison walls.
If that doesn't get you fired up this morning, I don't know what will. So, when God put this on my heart about the power in prayer and fasting, I'll tell you what one of my weaknesses, I'm not like this huge prayer warrior. You know, I'm like, Lord, are you sure you want me teaching on this? I mean, I'm not like Dwayne over here. And I'll share a quick story. When Ed and me and Dwayne were in Jamaica, we were roommates, on a mission trip. So we come back from work and land cement all day, and we were dead tired. So Dwayne starts praying, and we crash out about 3 o'clock, me and Ed. We fell asleep. We wake up at 7. Dwayne was still praying for us and the whole mission team, 4 hours straight. Wow. And I was like, that's a prayer warrior. Amen. Amen.
That is good.
And but you know what? God gave it to me to teach, so who am I, right? I just want to be obedient. Amen? This is my theme scripture of today, 2 Chronicles 7:14. You know, how about a new Pledge of Allegiance for America? You know, wouldn't this be nice? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Wouldn't that be great if this country, you know, turned from our wicked ways? Because we're so divided right now. So this was last week we talked, or last month we talked about some of the benefits of prayer, providing timely direction, prevents wrong decisions, produces peacefulness, eliminates anxiety. Prayer invites God into our activities, going to the gym, work, coaching, softball team. Prayer produces confidence. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? We talked about that. And then we ended on the missionary story about the guy protected by the 26 angels that were actually 26 guys praying for him in his church back home.
What, the guy running down the mountain?
And the guy, the kid, yeah, yep. Amen. Where my wife saw an angel.
Amen.
That was thank God, amen.
I'm surprised you could tell the difference with it standing next to you.
So today we're going to start off with some stories. We're talking about pray for healing. I love this right here. Well, we've done all we can. The only thing left to do now that we can do is pray. You know, how many times have we heard that? Well, we've done all we've done. Bob, you know, Donna. So I thought of two different stories, two prayers with two different miracles. And I want to start off with Pastor Don, if you want to hand him the mic, Ed. Because a lot of times we think, oh, you know, we have to say this eloquent prayer, you know, maybe King James Version, you know, really, O thee, thou, O holiest, most godly. And I love this story that Pastor Don has shared before. And, well, tell us what happened.
This young girl at the time, Lisa Sauerbeck, well, she was a hairstylist, and she used to cut my hair all the time. So she was probably 17 or 18 at that time, going to school. And so I had my hair cut by her probably for a couple of years, and this was back when I was on the police department. So one night my wife, she told me, she says, well, did you hear the story about Lisa Sauerbeck? I said, no, what happened? She said, well, they found out that she's got this disease. The family, she's got a younger brother that has this disease that from the time he was born, he's been in a wheelchair, and they've spent millions of dollars with the insurance company trying to help him, but he's going to spend the rest of his life in his wheelchair, something in the brain. And he said they just found out that this young girl has the same disease. And she was, you know, 17, 18 at the time, beautiful young girl. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. And so, you know, everybody was out praying. And I just, you know, it was on my heart. It was like God put on my heart to stop by there because he lived in town here. So I was always patrolling around. But for some reason, I couldn't go by the house. So about a week later, I was driving, and I'm going by the house, and her father was out there washing his van. He grew up in the same neighborhood that I did, so I knew him. And so he stopped me, and then all of a sudden it kind of clicked, like, oh, yeah, you know, I want to talk to him about his daughter. So he came over, and he was basically broken down crying, saying that, you know, hey, we've spent our lives with our son wheeling him around. They had the special van, you know, lift him up and what have you. And, you know, he told me, and I mean, you could just see they were devastated. And now it was like, now we're going to have to do this with our daughter. So I said, Don, why don't you go in there and bring her out here? I want to pray for her. Because they were going to go out to the Ronald McDonald House out, I think it was in Boston area somewhere, and they were going to perform this operation on her. And they had all the x-rays and CAT scans and everything else showing that she definitely had this disease. So went in, got her, came out, and I began praying for her, and it was the worst prayer I ever prayed. I mean, I couldn't even think of words. I was so troubled in my spirit, you know. And, you know, they thanked me, and they were like, you know, thank you. And as I drove away, I go, well, that went really well. You know, I was like, you know, that, you ever see that guy mumbles on the internet? You know, you know, that's, and it wasn't like I was speaking in tongues. It was just, I just couldn't pray. And I just felt bad. I'm like, God, just touch that young girl. So 2 weeks later, I'm on patrol again. Now I'm on the other side of town, and this van cuts me off. And I'm like, oh, somebody's getting a ticket, you know. And it was her dad. He jumped out. He came running around. He was jumping around. I got out. I go, what's it? He goes, did you hear the news? He says, my daughter's completely healed. And I want to thank you. And I'm like, thank me? I couldn't even pray right. But what had happened was they took her out there, and they're expecting the worst. They took her into surgery. She's supposed to be in there for 3 hours. She's in there for six. So they're thinking she died on the table or what have you. They're sitting out in the hallway. The doctor came out of the operating room, just looked at him down the hallway, shook his head, and walked in his office. And they're just like looking at each other like, oh, my God, what happened? What happened? You know, because nobody came out and said anything. The doctor called them in the office. They went in there, and he says, you guys need to sit down. And, I mean, they're just shaking. And in fact, when they were told the first time that the daughter had, they both fell on the ground in sorrow, just like, oh, no, God, we can't take this. So they're sitting down, holding each other's hands, just shaking, and the doctor says, I don't know if you guys believe in a God or the supernatural. He says, I've never seen anything like this in my life. Your daughter is completely healed. We have all the x-rays, CAT scans right here. We went in there. He said, I had to check it, recheck it, and triple check it. He said, Mr. and Ms. Sauerbeck, you can take your daughter and go home. And they were, I mean, they got up, and as sorrowful as they were, he said, we were dancing around for joy. And he just wanted to think. In fact, you could Google it, the name Sauerbeck. It was in the local paper. And it told the story about how, I mean, there were other churches and everybody praying. It wasn't like my prayer or what have you, but it just shows you that sometimes that you don't even have the words, but it's just being there and praying for them. But I tell you what, he could have jumped over my car. He was so happy that he had got his daughter back to him. And so when you read the stories about, you know, in the scriptures about the young girl that was given back after she was dead or what have you, or the leper or what have you, you can just, you know, that's kind of a glimpse of the joy that we can experience, and, you know, when we see God answer prayer like that. It's incredible, you know, and it's something I'll never forget, and, you know, just truly amazing. And the local newspaper, the News Herald, I think it was, three or four full pages of the story and what they went through. So just incredible, incredible time.
Amen. That's one of those stories that sticks with you for life. You hear something like that. Amen. And I knew the family very well, too. They lived right next door to me when I was growing up. That brings me to another miraculous story. It was Dwayne's stepdad. Dwayne called me. He says, my stepdad's, he's on his deathbed up at Oakwood Hospital. He says, will you come up with me and pray for him? He doesn't know the Lord. I says, yeah, absolutely. So me and Dwayne went up there, and you know, ministering to the guy, talking to him, and, you know, telling him it doesn't look good and blah, blah, blah. And I says, I gave him the whole, Sammy, I gave him the whole pitch, man. You know, confess with Jesus, you know, that Jesus is Lord. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And I went through the whole thing. I was all pumped up, you know, Donna. And I says, are you ready to give your heart to the Lord? No. What? I mean, hey. I'm like, really, God? I'm like, I mean, is this guy? No, he's teetering between life and death, heaven and hell right now. But you know what? You cannot force anybody, right? No matter how much you pray, you can't force anybody to give their heart to the Lord. So it bothered me. But I said, you know what, Randy? We're going to pray for you anyway, you know, for your healing and whatnot. So Dwayne and I prayed for him. So I called, Dwayne called me and says, hey, guess what? He's doing better. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah. So he went on for like, 7 months? Like, his health was doing good. Everything's doing good. I'm like, wow. So God healed him, you know. He wasn't supposed to live that week. Well, then I get another phone call. And it's Dwayne again. He goes, Randy's back in the hospital. He's on his deathbed. And in my flesh, I'm like, well, I'm not going up there to pray for him. He didn't want the Lord, you know. Yeah. Right? You get those thoughts in your head. And like, you know what? Kick those thoughts right out. We're called to be obedient, right? So I said, after I kicked myself, I'm like, no, we'll go back up there. We'll, you know, pray for him and whatnot. But this time it was totally different. And I said, Randy, you know, last time I talked to you about the Lord receiving him into your life as Lord and Savior, you know, and having eternal life with him, and you kind of turned, shot me down, you know. And I says, are you ready? He said, yes, I am. I'm ready. And you know what? He gave his heart to the Lord right then and there, and it wasn't too long after he passed away.
Yeah, it was.
And so, you know, I was thankful. That's, you know, a different miracle, because salvation's a miracle, right? Amen? Yeah. But, you know, when we're praying, just be in tune to the Spirit, you know? And we can't. Donna's got something for us.
You're talking about different miracles, and sometimes we don't always recognize healing that God has done.
Right.
And I was talking to Laura Brown, and she was telling me about this woman who was diagnosed with MS a couple years before me. And she said, Donna, she's not doing good. And I said, what's going on? She goes, well, she's been in a wheelchair for 6 years. Now, mind you, I only got mine 2 years later than her, but, like, Laura had been updating me about her, that she had been getting worse. And after I talked to Laura, I said, Lord, I just want to thank you, because I knew that God had done healing in me. I know that I am where I am because he's healed my body. And it's not like my total healing, you know, but it's like God healed me because I probably should be. I've had it for 10 years, and usually after the 10-year mark, you get pretty bad. And I said, Lord, I know it's your healing. You have healed my body, and I pray for total healing. But, Lord, even if you don't, it's a miracle what you've done now in me. And so I just wanted to say that God, you know, sometimes we don't give him the credit for what he's done. Like, we look for the whole picture of it. And God, I don't have the whole picture yet, but I need to thank him for what he's done. And if he never does anything else, if he doesn't heal me totally, I know that I've been healed. And I thank him for that.
Well, I just, on behalf of all of us here, we love you. And I know many of us here, you know, that know you, have been praying for you for years. And just to see God moving in your life like that, and not just moving in your life, just using you to minister to others. It's been, that's a power of prayer. That's a praise report. Amen. You know, Bob, the old man Bob, Pastor Don's friend, he brought his wife out to church one time. And I found out that she was a dialysis nurse. So I says, oh, yeah, I was on dialysis before. She goes, when was that? I said, like 21 years ago. And she goes, oh, well, what happened? I go, well, I got a kidney transplant. She goes, well, how long did it last? I go, well, I still have it. She goes, what? She goes, I never heard anybody go past 8 years. I go, that's our God. And that's a testimony, you know, to them. You know, I'd love to see her come back. But, you know, hey,
keep praying
for her, right? Praying for Bob. Well, why don't we pray? All right, Father, we just pray for wisdom, dear God, for Donna. And Lord, that confirmation with her doctors, Lord. And Lord, that your peace be upon her, and give them the right decision, Father. And Lord, I pray even these side effects would go away while she has to take them, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. That's all it is, man. When we pray, just, hey, stop, seize the moment, right? Amen. Like, hey, we got an opportunity. Let's pray right now, right?
Amen.
Even at work, even in the softball team, right, Pastor Don? Prayer opens doors of opportunities. My son, I'll give you a short example. He wanted to come back here with his wife and live here, come to church here, you know. He said, Dad, I could never find a church up there that's like downriver. And that blessed my heart. But when I thought he was going to stay there forever, I was like, well, God's got churches for you everywhere. You know, you got to find one and blah, blah, blah.
You mean that in a good way or a bad way?
Well, since he's coming here, I'm going to take that as a good way. But I was also, but God opened up that door just that it was, if I told you the story, it was crazy how he ended up getting this job and got blessed and using his natural giftings that God gave him as a salesman. And so it's just awesome. And they've, you know, the family here has embraced him and his wife and their baby coming up. But I was thinking of somebody else, too, was Fred and Esther. And, Fred. And I see how, you know what, the prayer list isn't just for always for people for sick, you know. I see Fred and Esther all the time, please pray for us to have godly employees. And they sent you Tony. So, and you know what? All kidding aside, Tony, they love you, and you are, you know, a model employee. But you know what? You weren't there by accident. We were praying for you. We didn't know who you were at the time. And, you know, why not put our business? I know Kim, when she started off, okay, her shop, I remember going there with Christy, and it was about the size of the ladies' bathroom. I'm not joking. At the Trenton Athletic Club. And now if you look at her shop now, it's like bigger than this, you know, with all these workers and, you know, because she, you know, kept asking God. More blessings. And you know what? All the stress, all the worry, and she still doesn't have gray hair. God bless her. I just... Kevin got it all. How about sometimes we're in the middle of prayer and God speaks to you? Like, if you get a thought in your mind, like, do we go with it? Or are we just like, no, let me finish praying. So last night I'm in my quiet time, and this is my friend Mike over here. He's friends with Brandon Woods, who used to come out all the time. I'm in the middle of praying. All of a sudden, his name comes in my head. I'm like, Mug. Okay, Mug. What? Okay. So I says, you know what? I got done praying, and I invited him. I said, hey, how about you coming out to the morning Bible study? We'll feed you, and you can throw tomatoes at me or whatever you want. He's doing good. Lost a lot of weight. Looks good. Amen. You know, just be obedient. If God puts somebody, if God puts you on my heart, call me. I might be in trouble, Bob. Please. You know. All kidding aside, I remember years ago I was going through a hard time, and I couldn't sleep. No joke. I was like up all night. I had to go to work, you know, although I don't work hard, but just being there. I do have a couch chair. But anyway, I'm like, Bob, I can't sleep. Don't worry. Nobody ever died from lack of sleep, blah, blah, blah. But this is the key. Bob said this. He goes, I don't care if it's 3 a.m. If you got to call me, you call me, I'll pray for you. Uh-huh. Now, how much does that mean? Right. That's worth gold to me. Yeah. I'm going to get all choked up, but yeah. Pass it on. Yeah. Esther wants to.
I wanted to share what God did one time. This is like when I first started coming to church, and you know, I'm going to be honest, I was a lot still in the world and trying to get into being a true Christian, I guess. I don't know what you call it. Be holified like you guys. We're holified. I was trying and praying, Lord, please help me to be holified. But my sister knew that I had started coming to church, so she's like, will you please pray, because my stepmom's going in for surgery, and they're going to remove 3 of her toes. So I was like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, you know, this is my thought. Like, God's not going to hear me. You know, I got to take this to the pastors, and I got to pray. So I didn't, well, of course, I did do my prayers the way I knew how to pray then. But I was on the dance ministry at that time, and I remember God saying while we were doing, I don't know what we were doing with the dance ministry, and the Lord, like, he, like, shined a white light in my eyes, and he said, right now, I have just healed your stepmother's toes. They will not amputate not one toe. And I was like, when I heard that, I was, like, startled. I was like, really? So I went home and I called my sister, Linda, and I was like, hey, this is what happened. And I told her that whole story, and she's like, you got to call Dad and tell him that. And I'm like, I feel embarrassed. I'm embarrassed to tell him that, because what if it doesn't happen? And she's like, no, call him. So I called him. I said, I got to talk to your wife. I was very nervous, and I told her what God had laid on my heart while we were in service during worship, praise and worship. So she says, well, I'm going for surgery tomorrow morning, and they already have the x-rays. They already said they're going to remove 3 toes. And I was like, well, I know what God said when I was worshiping, and he said he healed you. So they call me the next day in the evening, and they said God healed her toes. They only had to file a little bit of her pinky toe, but she kept all her toes. So I thank God for, I thank him for his grace. He's got so much grace on us. We can't even believe how much he loves us, because those silent prayers that we're saying all day long, and we think God doesn't hear us because of our unrighteousness, his righteousness covers over all of our unrighteousness, because he knows that we love him so much and we do want change.
Amen. 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 Good story. Great story. Revelation 3:7. These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. I love this part. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open.
Amen.
That's one of my favorites. You know what? When God opens up a door, watch out. Amen? Isaiah 6:8 says, then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said, here am I. Send me. Who's going to go pray for that person in the hospital? Who's going to speak out to their unsaved family members? Who's going to, you know, go up and just, hey, can I pray for you, and be bold? Why not? What do we got to lose?
Right.
You know what? We could be embarrassed. So what? Like Bob said, when he was in the bars, how embarrassing was that, falling off the bar stools? I think I've only had one time that I can really remember in my whole life when I asked somebody, can I pray for you, and they said no. One time out of countless times that they actually said no. And usually people are like, hey, I appreciate that, you know.
Amen.
Just makes them feel better, you know, beside the what God's doing on them. Amen. And are we bold enough to pray this prayer? Diane is. She's going to read that for us. Ed, you want to?
This is one of my favorite scriptures. It's Hebrews 4:16. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Amen. And that confidence ain't in us. It's not in ourselves. It's in God, right? Hey, God, I know you can heal this person. I know you can open up the door for salvation. But give me the right words so I'm not a fool. And a fool in another way, you know? Or like Pastor Don, you stumble over your words, God heals her anyway, right? All right, where's Charlie there? He's got a prayers of a righteous man are timid and weak. This was Sammy before he lost all the weight. Charlie. You got that verse for me? Hold on. Ed's got the mic.
Okay, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective.
Powerful and effective, right? Our prayers will work, right? Amen? Not because of who we are, but because of who we know.
Amen.
Yeah.
Ask him to tell a story again about his dad.
Do you want to share that story?
Don't ask.
Real brief?
Sorry about your dad. Yeah.
Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I prayed for my dad for quite a while. And Okay. And one day I was just heading up north, and because my dad had cancer, and then I got there and I was waiting for that opportunity to pray for him, and it never happened because a couple of his buddies came by and stuff. So when I went home, I had to go back up there for because hospice was there, and I says, okay, God, I need this opportunity for about 20 minutes to tell everybody to just scatter. So my sister-in-law calls me, and she goes, I said, look, I need you guys to leave when I get there for about 20 minutes. She goes, for what? She goes, so I could pray for my dad to get saved. And goes, oh, he already received the Lord. And wow, that was, that was incredible. I wanted to jump on 23, I-23, just for joy, you know what I mean? That God answered prayer, so. But thank you.
And that was a prayer request that went out on the intercessory prayer list. So we all had your back. Amen. We all got each other's backs, don't we? Donna, we got your back. Alma, we got your back. God said David was a man after his own heart. And David says this, I am a man of prayer. So you think those two correlate? If he's a man after his own heart, David says, I'm a man of prayer. Should we be a man or woman of prayer? Amen. What can hinder our prayers? Busyness. No one was ever more busy than Jesus, so he made a point to get up early and pray. We all got 24 hours. I remember Pastor John said this in my first tour of the church. We all got 24 hours, so there's no excuse. It's what you, how you, you know, prioritize. Amen? Selfish motives. 1 John 5:14 and 15, the apostle tells us that our confidence comes from asking God according to his will. James similarly exhorts, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend on your passions. Lord, I want that brand new car. I know I'm only making $8 an hour, but I deserve that $40,000 car.
Is that your wife's friend?
I counseled with a young man who was in a lot of debt. I mean, the student loans are crazy, by the way. And the first thing I asked him, I says, how about getting rid of your car? Well, I can't do that because I'll spend more in maintenance. I'm like, you ain't going to spend $500 a month in maintenance. And I was like, you know? I'm like, you might want to be willing to give up that car. But, do you have something? Oh, my wife gave me a look.
She ain't giving up her car.
She got scared. How about unforgiveness? The Christian has been forgiven for the greatest offenses. He's been forgiven for knowingly, purposely, and unrepentantly transgressing the law of God. And yet, we are often slow to forgive our fellow man for the smallest of transgressions. Been there, done that. Even the biggest of sins committed against us are nothing compared to how we've sinned against God. God does not honor this attitude. In Mark 11:25, Jesus says this, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father, where's it say? Please pray and forgive, I'm sorry. Forgive them if you have anything against them, so your Father also who is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. Let's just get over it. Can we forgive and move on? Yeah. Sammy, I forgive you for teasing me this morning. There you go. Right? Simple as that. It's hard in a marriage sometimes, right, Chrissy? Yeah. How about unconfessed sin? Oh. Yeah, but just a little, it's a little sin. I mean, it's not that bad, is it?
Yeah.
So it's before we conclude that God has simply not heard our prayers or that it is not his will to give us what we ask, we need to examine our hearts to see if we have any unconfessed sin that stands as a barrier between ourselves and God. A lot of times we have to search. You know, some of the sins are obvious, but some of them, pride, anger, greed, you know, all those good sins there. Doubt. God wants us to have confidence in his ability and willingness to provide what is necessary for us to attain godliness. He wants us to believe that he can and will do what he says. Thus, when we doubt, when we ask, expecting rejection, and when we ask, almost hoping for rejection, will hinder our prayers. If we are to ask God, we must ask with expectancy, believing in our heart of hearts that God can and will give us what we desire, provided that what we desire is really what we need and what will bring glory to him. We are to ask with confidence and expectancy, praying out of the faith he has given us. Amen. God wants to bless us, right? You been to Pastor Don's house? I mean, my gosh. You know? I mean, he started off, on Rop Road. Have you been by Rop Road?
Oh, wow.
Went from the outhouse to the penthouse. I mean, but it's that faithful obedience, you know, Pastor's Appreciation Month. I mean, I love you, PD.
All I know is I fed you a whole lot of time, brother.
Yes, you did. And unlimited pistachios.
That's right.
Got to have faith that God not only hears us, but he'll help us. Real quick, when we went to move my son, he goes, he thought I said, yeah, I'm bringing up a moving van to help you move. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not spending all that money on a moving van. $2,000 to move $300 worth of stuff, you know? I brought a minivan. And he saw it. He goes, no way, Dad. We ain't going to make it. And I had two bungee cords. Christy? We had it looked like Sanford and Son on the top of the van, on the back, coming out. The mattress was slapping. About 600 miles, and we made it. Because God is our refuge and ever-present help in trouble. I want to end with a video. Where did my best Ed go? All right. Okay. Do we believe God wants to answer our prayers? Well, wait a minute. It says here, if you believe, you'll receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Well, I like the six numbers for tonight's letter. Right? Some churches teach that. Right? All right, Ed, we're going to go to that video. We're going to end it here. I love this video. Right there, that one.
Well, you took the job, Bruce, so I suggest you get to it.
Prayers, okay, prayers. This creepy whisper thing has to end. Organization and management. That's what I need. I need a system, something concrete. Concentrate. Files. Let all prayers be organized into files.
Well, that takes care of the voices. Not exactly a space saver, though.
Grace might notice. I know. Prayer post-its!
I need something with a lock. Security, combination, password. A password?
Yo!
You've got prayers.
Welcome to the Revelation Superhighway. We bless, no mess. Downloading now. It's good?
It's good.
This is gonna take a while.
$1,527,503 prayer requests.
I better manifest some coffee.
Hola! Juan Valdez!
Buenos días.
Buenos días.
Disfruta un buen café.
Gracias, señor.
Adios.
Adios!
Now that's fresh mountain-grown coffee from the hills of Colombia.
Good.
Okay, I had to have made some kind of a dent by now.
Oh, come on! Oh.
What a bunch of whiners. This is gonna suck up my whole life. You know what? Yes, to all!
Yeah, there you go. Now everybody's happy.
And if you saw the movie, you'll see a lot of people wanted the lottery numbers, so he answered yes. So each person won like $1.50 in the lottery. So then they all got mad at God because so many people won. Can't win or lose. So, all right, we're going to close in prayer.
Let Rico close us.
Yes, sir.
Because he's doing that next week.
Yes.
Yep. Rico, with the assistance of his lovely wife, is going to be teaching here. It's going to be his first time on a Sunday morning. He's taught many classes here, but it's his first time on a Sunday morning. So we're looking forward to it. Be here.
Or B square.
All right. Thank you, Father, for this time, Father. Thank you for putting this word in Brian, Father, and blessing us with it, Lord. Lord, I pray that we continue to soak in on it, Father, and take it to heart, Father, and apply it to our lives, Lord. And, Father, thank you for the food. And, Father, I just pray that we have a good word coming after this and that we all leave this place reinvigorated and on fire for you. In Jesus' name, amen.